Jason, you were saying you wouldn't go to see Sebastian Maniscalco because of the Alabama-Georgia game. How about going to see The Substance or Megalopolis?
I saw the trailer. I mean, it obviously looks creepy. I don't know how into that I am, though.
Yeah. It's definitely creepy.
It's very, very creepy. Yeah. The trailer, anyway.
The Demi Moore movie you're talking about?
Yeah.
Megalopolis, impossible for any of us to see that after that review.
A payment would make me go.
That's the one he gave a two to?
Yeah. He gave it a two, I think, simply because it
pay
was Francis
thousand,
Ford Coppola.
Pay me $1,000, I would go see it.
He called it incredibly boring and sloppy, and somehow it doesn't get a one or a zero?
He's wondering why, when an 85-year-old codger makes a movie, that it sucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, Francis Ford Coppola has made some amazing movies, but he's 85 years old. Like, you don't do your best work, generally, when you're in your mid-80s.
That is generally the rule.
Unless you guys want to show me a bunch of people who are still, you know, throwing fastballs at 85 that I don't know about.
No.
Please let me know.
You can't be surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm not really that surprised that Francis Ford Coppola is turning in a clunker.
Well, EB cares about a 23-year-old quarterback throwing on Sunday.
Much more.
Let's hit the skins, brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. You need to hit the skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES to get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
Don't sleepy.
All right, guys, just some of the basics. Of course, the game is Sunday. It's a 4:05 p.m. start. It's on Fox.
You're okay with the 4:05 since you're coming back from
New York. I'll be driving back from New York, so... I'll get up early because I like to just beat the traffic.
I think 4:05 starts are better, or 4 o'clock games are better than 1 o'clock games.
Because?
And then you can just...
You can look forward to it all day?
You can just do stuff. Like, you're not, you don't have to just sit on your ass at 1 o'clock.
There's some truth to that. Kind of takes up the prime part of your day.
Mr. Myers, you're not happy because you got to stay up until about 11:30 on Sunday night.
I'm not happy, but at this point, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
I mean, every season, there's a billion primetime games.
Yep. Sure. That's what happens when you're cell like.
What were you going to say, the Ravens? As someone who usually has to watch every 4 or 4:30 game, that's when the Seahawks play, it's the worst. Mm. Because you're sitting there and you're seeing the sun go down, especially when the clock falls back.
Yeah.
And then it's 7:30 and you realize your team lost and you wasted your entire afternoon.
You got to go to bed in an hour.
And you got to go to bed and it's Sunday night.
Yeah.
And the scaries are kicked in.
Sunday scaries are the worst.
The 4 p.m. games are the worst.
I don't know. Yeah. I love it. Hmm. I love it.
I think I'm okay with a 4 o'clock start. I don't know if I'd want them every week, but you sprinkle a few in there when they're out on the West Coast region of the country.
And this is their second 4 o'clock. So they've played 2 4 o'clocks, or one was a 4:25.
Yep.
And a prime time so far.
Right.
They've only had the 1 1 o'clock.
And as Cake said, we're going to start getting flexed. We're going to start getting a bunch of primetime games in the future.
Let's see how the season goes.
Forget it. No, just for Jaden. Just for Jaden alone, I think.
I mean, if they're last in the division, I don't know why they would flex them.
Like if you watch the 1 o'clock game, you're not like going out and like running errands or getting ready for the week at 4 o'clock. You're just rolling right into the 4 o'clock games. Then all of a sudden, you've just sat on your sofa for 8 hours.
Right. You feel like a lump.
With the 4 o'clock game, you can do all that beforehand. You know, kind of keep a casual eye on the 1 o'clock games, check your fantasy, and then boom, your team plays at 4 o'clock.
Yep. Hmm.
Some basics. We've been talking about it sort of all week. The Skins are about 3.5 point dogs in this game.
Mm-hmm.
The ESPN matchup predictor, if you care about that, has Arizona winning this 61.4% of the time.
So I'll take almost being a 40% underdog. That's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, no, they certainly got a great shot at this. Jaden, of course, has played fantastic. He's completing 80% of his passes. That's largely being carried by that 90% performance he had on Monday night. But Kyler's also, he's balling. He's got 5 touchdowns and just 1 interception, Cakes. 59 for 86.
Issue, though, for the Cardinals. Marvin Harrison Jr. pops up on the injury report with a quad injury. Uh-oh. Something to monitor.
Right. Well, it looks like they do something here now. Maybe they've adjusted it this year, or this is just ESPN's bit, where they put their status, but then their estimated return date.
Ah.
So for like the Commanders, they've got Jameson Crowder questionable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But estimated return is the 29th.
Okay.
Benjamin St. Juice, questionable. You're thinking, oh no. I mean, he's our best corner, in my opinion. September 29th, so he should be good. Sam Cosby, questionable. estimated return 29th. Same thing with Marvin Harrison. He looks like, even though he has popped on the list, he's expected to play. And then Trey McBride, their tight end, also questionable, expected to
play.
I'm
a little surprised he's expected to play because he suffered a concussion. I guess he's moving protocol okay. But usually when guys get concussed, they tend to miss at least one
week. I would
week.
Only be worried and concerned if they miss the most of the days of practice. Certainly if they miss Wednesday and if they miss Thursday.
If they practice by Friday, they're good to go on Sunday.
They're not practicing all week, okay, then the question mark probably means doubtful.
Right.
But if they're practicing, they're going to play.
Now, I know Kyler overall is playing well, but last week that offense was shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Lions
are good.
Tend to shove it on people, especially trying to run the ball. Look at what James Conner did the first two games of the season.
Yeah, and then last week he did nothing.
And he ran into a brick wall in the Lions. So the Commanders don't bring
don't
that same sort of defense
like the Lions
to the table.
Mm. All right, so we've got some audio that we want to play. First of all,
I think Kyler Murray is going to run more in this week. He hadn't run a bunch.
Mm. Well, we got to flush him.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we want to flush him. I don't know. He could kill you either way, Cakes.
He ran for, let's see, 45 yards against the Lions, 59 against the Rams, and 57 against Buffalo.
Right, he's moving. His average per carry is a lot, but he's only got 15 carries.
Sure.
Right.
So I think he's gaining chunks.
How many does Jaden have?
38.
Right, so he's got 23 more carries than Kyle. I just think he'll run a little bit more this game.
Jonathan Gannon, coach here in Arizona, is asked about the NFC Player of the Week, Cakes.
And that would be one Jaden Daniels
the
last
guy
time I checked.
Who's taking the NFL by storm.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he has to say about Jaden.
Is it any different preparing for a rookie quarterback because you don't have extensive NFL film on them?
Yeah, a little bit. That's a good question, Donnie. I think that, you know, through the three games, you can see, you know, kind of his skill set, what they like to do with him, those things. He's obviously a very unique player to game plan against because of his skill set. He's got a unique skill set, but he can throw it all over the place. He can extend plays. He can throw it down the field. Big time player.
Got respect for the opposing quarterback. He knows what a threat he is. He's well aware.
Big time player.
He just better hope Jaden doesn't go shoo, 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 explosives, like he liked to say when he met Kyler Murray back in the day. Because that could happen. Could happen on both sides of the ball.
What players are officially out for the Commanders?
Eckler
Eckler, obviously.
Farrell.
About Forbee?
Yeah.
Forbee.
I think they're expecting him to be available from what I've seen.
Okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad. It's
now,
probably bad.
A lot of people are talking about the Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray angle. Both have obviously slow played it. Cliff's not super talkative, right? I don't think he.
Right.
I don't think either guy super enjoys talking to the media, to be honest.
I think you're right.
But they asked Cliff, what was the difference between week two and week three, especially all those red zone issues, et cetera, that they had in week two? None of those really cropped up in week three.
Yeah, the biggest deal was the negative plays. We had 18 in week two, and we had four the other night. And it allowed us to not be in many third and longs and stay on schedule and play downhill and mix in some of the tempo. And I think that was the kind of secret sauce to being able to score in the red zone as well. No negative plays in the red zone, which the previous week was our Achilles heel. So I thought the negative plays was the biggest improvement.
They did have a couple penalties in the second half. I know they played a clean first half. I'm 99% sure. And I remember at one point there it was like second and 21. I'm like, oh no, here we go. But they got a first down. I can't remember if they scored a touchdown there or what. But I think they only had a couple in that game. So big difference in week three from week two. DQ, of course, has been on the mic several times this weekend. And I forget what this quote is about, Valdez. You want to remind me what he's talking about here?
It's just an observation. So DQ, Jaden, and Cliff like all talked yesterday or the day before, and a lot of the stuff that were a lot of the questions directed towards them was about like the offense because it was Jaden's breakout, and it seems like there's a lot of euphoria around the offense, and it's kind of overshadowing just how bad the defense is. So I just wanted to find something about the defense. And this is the only clip Dan Quinn was asked about the defense.
Gotcha.
if it plays.
And then defensively, are you guys playing with the speed that you want to, that you need to I guess, be even more effective, or to be more effective?
Yeah, not yet. I'd say we're gaining there, you know, and so we're still building onto that. But we're not hitting the marks that we want to yet. By no means is that where we're going to end up. And I love the crew. I love what we're about. And so as we're going to grow, they're going to play faster. They're going to play more violent. And so the more of that that we do, then you stack on some more and stack on some more. But we're not to the space we will be yet, John. No.
I think one of the refreshing things about Quinn is he is a straight shooter. Like everything, I mean, for the most part, it's going to be coach speak, but everything from Ron Rivera was coach speak.
I mean, yeah, Ron, just a pathological liar.
I mean, it's easy for DQ to say that when his team's giving up over 29 points per game. It's pretty easy to say, yeah, we're not where we want to be defensively. Yeah. We're almost allowing 30 points per game.
I mean, it's obvious. Yeah.
But like there's 15 cuts of Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
All right, so 15 questions to the head coach. Mm-hmm. Only one of them is regarding the defense.
Because like, people are so enamored with what Jaden is
I know,
doing.
That's what I'm saying, is that the defense is just out of sight, out of mind, because everyone is in this honeymoon phase with Jaden and how the offense
everyone
looked in prime
time. This guy right here, who all he could think about is how bad our defense is.
I just think everybody's resigned to... I mean, you're into the season now. What sort of improvements and tweaks can you make?
They're going to add Effie Obada, Kate.
Okay, wow. Well,
he's going to be the difference maker.
If you think he's the tonic, if he's the cure-all to turn things around, great.
No, I
think people
think
just
so.
Know that this is what the defense is going to be. They need major additions during the offseason, which you will see.
Yeah.
And they just kind of have to deal with the pieces
I
that
mean,
they
are going to be weeks where the defense plays much better, and you go, wow, it's kind of surprising, but I don't know if it's this week.
All right, speaking...
Probably not this week.
Speaking to that, there have been rumblings already. I've already seen there are mocks out there that obviously have the Commanders drafting a wide receiver in the next draft, you know, high in their first-round pick. I don't know where they have them picking, but they have them taking a receiver. And then some have gone a step further. I believe it's Dan Graziano for... What is he, who does he work for, ESPN? He's gone on record and basically insinuated that the Commanders should make a trade for Devontae Adams and his $140 million contract.
I don't know.
We talked about him yesterday. I think the guy that they should get is Travis Hunter and have him play receiver and corner.
Sure.
That's what they
need.
That
may be
the guy they draft.
Yes. Potentially. Yeah. And
he's just talking about before
high.
The deadline.
Yeah, but potentially... You could get them. Now, others are talking about Hassan Reddick. What's his deal? He's not playing? Is he holding out? Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he could help us on the defensive side. But
Those are both some aging pieces, though. Like, Devontae Adams is already 31. Are you really going to pick him up and add him to a rebuild? I just don't see that happening.
What's he got left on his deal? Like
probably two or three years, I would guess. I don't know how much.
It was a 5-year deal.
He only had 4 catches last week. 5-year deal.
5-year deal.
But he still looks like he's in his prime to me.
I think
the week before he was making great plays.
I mean, trust me.
He's 31.
You think he, like, if you got him in a room, you think he wants Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell throwing him the ball?
That's why I brought it up in True False yesterday.
How about he went on the Kay Adams show and he started hyping up Jaden?
But again, he's to blame because he took the big sack of money to go to play for the Raiders.
He was traded, but then he signed 5 years.
He could have stayed in Green Bay with a stable quarterback.
Or he could have said, I'm not signing with you.
Right.
I'm going somewhere else.
So he's the one that basically
don't feel sorry
his way
for him.
Out.
I am just looking, even though that a lot of these guys are expected to play, in practice on Wednesday, wide receiver Marvin Harrison and Buda Baker were both limited in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Lineman Dante Stills, linebacker Dennis Gardeck are also limited. They got some guys that are banged up. You mentioned McBride and his concussion. So, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully they got a couple guys that just can't go, Cakes. Well, I'll take whatever we can get.
That would be nice for the Commanders if they dodge some of those bullets.
I mean, if Harrison couldn't go, that would be huge. I mean, who do they have? They got Wilson and
Greg Dortch out of the slot.
Yeah, they don't have much after Harrison.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we've got our touchdown parlay.
All right, guys, you're paying way too much for that eyesore sitting in the driveway. Well, you can upgrade that eyesore to a silly new all-electric i4 from my guys at BMW Fairfax. EB here. Now, you can drive a new 2024 BMW i4 for as little as $549 a month, or snag up to $14,000 off MSRP, or score one of the very few remaining 2023 i4s as low as $389 a month, or up to $20,000 off MSRP. Do what I've been doing for years, decades actually, for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW of Fairfax.